20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Saturday, April 20th, 2019, Pack-A-Day, your 24/7, 365-day, your Pack-A-Day podcast. I'm Jake Turner of Packers Talk, and joining me is my partner in crime, 32 years in the business and counting. The guy won't retire, folks. I'm just going to say it. Mark Eckel of BobAgainFootball.com joining me. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm retired, Jake. Believe me, I'm retired. I don't work nearly as hard as I did for those 32 years. The last couple of years, I helped Bob out. I enjoy my time doing the Pack a Day podcast with you, and when Andy needs a little help. But I'm retired. Believe me.
So, how many hours did you do when you were working compared to now?
Oh God. Well, just think about it. I mean, I covered the Eagles. I mean, I worked 12, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 hour days every day during the season and off draft stuff and off season. And I had my vacation time, don't get me wrong, but now I probably work more in a day than I do in a month. So how's that?
I'll take that. All right, we got a lot to get into here. The 2019 NFL draft is just T-minus 5 days away, Thursday evening.
About time, right? Man, it's great. Did it seem to you that this draft, it took longer than ever?
Oh, yes. It always feels like that. But then when the NFL schedule comes out, that means it's a week before the NFL draft, which means finally we're going to be able to talk to what we're about to talk here. And we have been given the task of talking about defensive line, and come from a guy who has played defensive line before. I'm really excited to get into this because watching a lot of tape and game film, I'm really excited to see what we can do with this because I got a couple of good picks in the first round, or wait until the third round for this guy. So we'll get into that as well. Mark, first off, the first defensive lineman that comes to mind for the Packers, who do you think?
Well, see, I'll be honest. I don't think they're going to take a defensive lineman much. I mean, they might take one. Like you said, third round, fourth round, maybe, yeah.
Right.
Again, I mean, the Packers, because of what they did in free agency, they set themselves up where at pick number 12, they don't have to take a specific need. Mm-hmm. They could take – and they shouldn't. I mean, I saw teams get in trouble. I've seen it through the years. We've seen it with the Packers. I've seen it with other teams. When you draft for need, you get hurt. Let's be honest. I mean, sometimes you get a guy, but you passed up three or four players who were better. I'll give you a great example. Back in 1997, let me think this for a second. 97.
Okay.
Philadelphia Eagles could have had what may have been the greatest draft in NFL history if they would have done this. In the first round, well, in the second round of that draft, they selected Brian Dawkins, a safety from Clemson, who turned out to be the best safety in Eagle history, one of the best defensive players in Eagle history, and the only Clemson player to ever make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So great pick in the second round, right? In the first round, they had a chance to take a linebacker from Miami named Ray Lewis.
Oh, no.
But they passed on Ray Lewis because linebacker wasn't a pressing need. They needed one, but they had a couple older guys. Instead, they needed an offensive lineman. And they selected a guy that turned out to be a pretty good guard in Jermaine Mayberry. But could you imagine a draft that would have included Ray Lewis in the first round and Brian Dawkins in the second round? Two Hall of Famers, two, you know, multiple Pro Bowls for – that would have been one of the greatest drafts in NFL history, right?
Without question for the Eagles defense, especially with situations they had.
They went for the best player, and they passed on Ray Lewis. So I'm just saying – getting back, I went way off on a tangent there, but
you always do.
The Packers at 12, getting back to our point here, they, you know, it very well could be the best player on the board at 12 is a defensive lineman, because there's so many good defensive linemen in this draft. It's far and away
the
deepest and most talented position in this draft. I do happen to think a lot of them are going to go early because it's so good. They're, you know, I think a lot of guys are going to go. Now, there's a couple guys. We may disagree. We'll find out as we go along. Some guys that are being hyped up, I'm personally not that crazy about.
Okay, give me one. Give me one that you're not crazy about that the media is crazy about.
Rashawn Gary from Michigan.
Thank you. I am totally with you on that one because I watched his game film and I looked at it and I was like, okay, you know, he's a Michigan guy. And one of the things about Michigan, aside from being Brandon Graham, they really don't pan out very well. They're injury prone, and he had a couple of times when in the last season where I just kind of sat there and went, do you want to play or not? Because it just kind of felt like he wasn't really helping his way with his attitude issues on the field and just not being able to produce. Watching him in run defense was a huge issue for me as well. If I want a guy, and I really feel like if the Packers take one at 12 or 30 and this guy's on the board, Cleveland Farrell for the Clemson Tigers.
Favorite. Oh, I love you, Jake. He's my
guy.
One of my top five players in this draft. I love Farrell. I loved him last year. I'm shocked he went back to school, and God bless him. He went back to school and won a national title.
But there is there's something there too, Mark, about Cleveland Farrell that worked. Is the thing about Farrell is that he understood that his run defense was a problem. And that's why he went back to school. That's why he went back with Dabo Swinney. And he becomes one of the top run stoppers in college football. Yep. And it's amazing what those reps will do to help him. Because I feel like this guy is a pro-ready guy. He's a team guy. He's a one that really just wants to get his name out there. And coming from a military-based family, that just makes it even better.
Listen, if he's there at 12 and the Packers take him, I'll drive down to Clemson, pick him up, and drive him to Wisconsin. I'm on the right. If they need me to do that, I'll do it. Or I'll take him to the airport. They probably want to fly. But I'll drive from here to Clemson. It's about three hours away. I'll go get him. I'll put him in Michael. I'll take him to the airport. I'll get him all ready. I'll do whatever. I would be out of my mind if he, first of all, I don't. He should not be there at 12. I think he should be a top.
I don't know. I think people are going to go for Ed Oliver, and maybe Farrell will still be there.
I hope you're right. I'm saying what he should. He's better than all those guys. He's better than Oliver. He's better than Gary. He's better than Sweat.
Yes.
He's better than all of them. But, you know, you're right. Teams do stupid things. I hope all these quarterbacks, though.
I'll give you a stupid pick, all right? And because I felt like he just blew it out of his rear. And that was Ja'Kai Polite. I was so mad at how bad Polite looked at the combine during the IQ test. And just the way he just looked like, I don't care anymore. I'm going to get drafted. And I'm sitting there going, you were one of the hardest hitting players in college football. We need that kind of attitude in Green Bay. And you come out in the combine and you look like a fool. And that really just set me off there. Turned me off as much as Rashawn Gary.
We agree again. Although, what if he's there at 44? Do you think about it?
No, I don't. Because I'd rather 44. Because I'd rather go get this guy, defensive end out of the University of Boston College, Zach Allen. This guy is a versatile machine that nobody talks about. And I watched his game film. No, go ahead, Mark.
No, I don't mind him at all. At 44, you're talking.
At 44, yes. This is my sleeper pick right here. Zach Allen, defensive end out of Boston College, because he can't just play defensive end. He can play outside linebacker. So, I mean, let's say Za'Darius Smith is lined up as a defensive end. You can put him as a pass rusher out there, switch him in with Reggie Gilbert, and really get some good reps out of him. The guy knows how to shut down the passing game. He knows how to get inside, knock that ball out of the quarterback's hand. He's fast. He's elusive. And he's not just a guy that runs around like a chicken with his head cut off. He's a very intelligent, football IQ heavy person, and I really loved his game film.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind him, again, depending on what they do. Now, if they take Farrell at 12, then I don't want Allen at 44.
Right. I mean, you got to make a choice.
But you're right. If Farrell's gone and they wind up taking whatever, you know, a different position at 12, yeah, I wouldn't mind Allen at 44 at all. Actually, I wouldn't even say he wouldn't even be that much of a reach at third.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, that's my favorite part of the draft is when all the hoopla is gone from round one. Now 2 through 7, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty. Now we're getting into the guys that nobody talks about, but you actually in your head, when you're sitting there on a Saturday morning and you're saying to yourself, I know that this guy could be great. I know this guy is raw or something like that. And that's my favorite. So if a guy like Zach Allen is still there and the Packers take a chance, I'd be happy with that one. I'd be happy with them if they took a chance on Dexter Lawrence from Clemson, Christian Wilkins from Clemson. Because
where would you take them? Because I don't think I'd take either one of them.
If you're doing Dexter Lawrence, I would say second round. Second round, Lawrence.
They won't be there. They're going to go first round.
Yeah, Farrell's going to go first round. Wilkins.
I think both of those go first round.
Wilkins might go late first round, early second round. Yeah. So I understand what you're saying there.
I don't think he gets out of it first. As a matter of fact, the team I paid a lot of attention to until the last couple of years, he fits what the Philadelphia Eagles do very well. I think Eagles would take him at 25 if he's still on the board, depending on who else is there.
If they took Wilkins or Lawrence?
Either one. They would love either one.
I just figure right now, if you're a fan of the Clemson defensive line and you got all of these great pros coming out, very mature, very hungry for this.
You forgot the other one, too. Brian. I would take – Brian. I see people have Brian going like, really? Late? Man, I'd love to get him in the fourth or fifth round. I wouldn't mind him at all. Like, again, fourth or fifth round, like where people say he might go. I'll drive to Clemson and pick him up, too.
You're going to need one of those big Cadillac Escalades then, right? You're going to have to make sure you have one of those.
I don't have an Escalade, but I have a pretty nice car. The players wouldn't mind driving in my car.
This is the Pack a Day podcast on iTunes. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Joining me is Mark Eckel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. We're getting you ready for the NFL draft, and we're going all defensive line, baby. We're giving you good, the bad, and the ugly.
Let me throw a name at you that a lot of people – let me just draw that, because I have mixed feelings on this guy.
Okay.
Ed Oliver from Houston.
You know, it's really tough when it's your final year in college and you have a knee injury and then you say no to the bowl game. And I figure right now it kind of goes back to – go back to this for a second. And I know it's a different position, but go back to Todd Gurley of the Rams. You know, Todd Gurley was one of the top running backs out there. Suddenly he has this weird injury, and it continues to limber throughout the weeks. The thing about Ed Oliver, he was electrifying. He was spectacular. His game film was bouncing off the TV. It was looking great. And then he gets hurt. But then it continues to linger on. And then he says, okay, forget it. I'm done. And it's a different story compared to Nick Bosa, because Nick Bosa knew that, okay, I'm just not going to play the season. I'm going to make myself better, get myself in great shape. He goes to the combine, knocks it out of the park. And Oliver, mediocre. And I just don't know if I really buy it quite yet.
I don't either. All right, so if he's there at 12,
okay,
and you're the Packers,
okay,
do you take him? I don't think I do.
I don't because it just goes back to Justin Harrell. He was injury. He was injury prone all through Tennessee.
You had to ruin my whole day.
I had to do it because we have to remind Packer fans that if Ed Oliver is there, remember, injury prone. It was a lingering injury throughout the season, and he even said no to the bowl game, which took away reps, which took away this opportunity. And guys like Nick Bosa and Cleveland Farrell and all that all jumped on it and put their stock up right now. I figure Ed Oliver, he's still there, but I'm just a little iffy on that injury prone, and I don't want a college football player that came in with an injury in their last year into here, because that's what happened to Justin Harrell.
So I'm really hoping, and I think you agree with me, we're hoping Oliver goes and Gary goes.
Yes.
And, let those guys go, and then Farrell might be there.
If the Packers got Cleveland Farrell,
I got coached. That would be – he's my
– I'll beat you there. I'll get on a plane.
He might be my favorite player in the entire draft.
He was my favorite player in college football, because I told you this, Mark, when we were about to come on today. I told you I love defense, but my favorite position is defensive line, because that's my bread and butter. That's what I played throughout my years when I was a kid, when I was in junior high school, watched it all through college years. I mean, That was my favorite position. It always has been. That's why my favorite players are Reggie White, Bruce Smith. I mean, come on. And of course, Deacon Jones. Thank you.
Living here in South Carolina, I see a lot of Clemson. I mean, Clemson's on every week. Everybody mm-hmm. here watches either the Gamecocks or Clemson. This year, you know, more so with Clemson because the Gamecocks were just okay, whereas Clemson was obviously great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that whole front, like you said, but Farrell was the one of that four that just became my guy, too. I mean, I think he's going to be one of the best players. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care where he goes. He's going to be better than Oliver. He's going to be better than Gary. He's going to be better. I think the only two guys in this draft that I would say are going to be better than him is Bosa. I have to give it to Bosa, but he's probably going to be better.
He will.
I'm not sure about that, but he's probably going to be better. And the big kid from Alabama, Quentin Williams.
He'll be gone.
He's pretty good, too.
He will be gone.
But yeah, they're going to go 2-3 maybe, or 2-4, depending on how things go.
Mark.
Yeah, the Packers have to have no shot at either one of them.
What about our guy? What about our guy, Montez Sweat? Where do you think he'll go? Good game film. Really showed some versatility.
He could go as high as number 6 to the Giants. Because I know that, from what I'm told, I still have some connections up there. The Giants are not going to take a quarterback at 6. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I'm 75 to 85% sure. The Giants are not taking a quarterback. They're going to take a defensive player.
No, I agree, because Matt Lombardo of NJ.com put out a piece about what Dave Gettleman said at his recent press conference, and he thinks that Eli Manning still has a lot of fuel to the fire. So, okay. Poor Matt.
At the Giants at 6, I think you're going to either take Gary, Sweat, or Oliver. And I hope they take either Gary or Oliver, but... I think the Buffalo Bills could have interest in Sweat at 9.
Ooh, I could see that.
And then if he drifts past the Packers, I don't think he would take I could see Miami at what are they, 13?
Yes.
The Dolphins?
Yes, lucky number 13.
Maybe the Redskins. I don't think he fits the Redskins as well. I think he goes somewhere between 6 would be his ultimate ceiling. But if the Giants pass, like I said, I would think he goes somewhere between 9 and 14.
Yeah, and the thing is with this draft,
it's deservedly so. I think that's where he belongs.
The thing is too, Mark, that what I really love about this draft, and I love it how like the national media is just like, because of Kyler Murray, you know, that's the only reason I want to watch. No, as a legitimate football fan and writer, I want to see defense. And when we got stacked defensive lines like we're having coming into this draft, that gets me excited because, dang it, we need defense in the NFL.
Well, this draft is, I mean, other than the quarterbacks and really Murray.
yes.
I mean, this is going to be... I mean, like I said, Williams and Bosa are going to go very early.
Williams, he's ready. No question.
I mean, the linebacker from LSU, White, is going to go very early. It's going to be a defensive line. All those other, like the guys we just talked about, Sweat and Farrell and Oliver, they're all, I mean, I would say at the top, let's just say the Packers, from the top 12 picks, I don't think there'll be an offensive player taken besides a quarterback.
No, I think you're right. And I think that's what needs to happen because I'm getting tired of people saying that, this quarterback draft's actually pretty good. No, the only two I actually look at is Murray and Locke. That's it. Those are the only two quarterbacks I look at and go, you know, you could have a future in this league. But this is defense. And, I mean, if you're a fan of defense, if you play defense, I mean, this is the draft for you. This is where you get to see the big guys come out, throw on the hats and make themselves look all good and proper, got the Armani going, really putting, saluting the crowd. It's going to be awesome. I mean, this is what I want. I mean, if you're a Bears fan, for crying out loud, this is what you want.
Well, I don't want to be a Bears fan.
Well, I'm just saying in general, defensive-minded teams, they need this kind of stuff. So, like Broncos, Bears, you know what I mean. Sorry, Packer fans.
I'm just messing with you, but I'm
I might get some hate on Twitter. That's fine.
We agree 100% that we don't like Gary. We're not crazy about Oliver.
No.
But we both love Farrell.
Yes. Yep. And my boy Zach Allen, I'm excited for him.
Maybe
a Montez Sweat drops down, maybe. Yeah, I'd be fine with that one, too.
Again, if Sweat's there at 12 and Farrell's gone,
grab him.
I wouldn't be upset.
No. No, because Montez Sweat, like, if you watch his game film, you sit there and just be like, wow, you're ready. Because not only can he get to the quarterback, but he can actually stop in motion, get out the double team, jump up, and smack the ball down. Or he can sit there for a moment and then just do this little rip move or swim right through and make a complete stop and make the play. There are so many things to Montez Sweat's game that really impressed me, just as similar to Cleveland Farrell. So it was kind of a less watchable version of Cleveland Farrell because not many people saw Montez Sweat play.
I agree, yes. Well, again, I wouldn't be upset. I think it's 50-50 if he's there, depending on what the Giants. The Giants kind of control this draft a little bit, because I think the picks in whatever order are going to be Murray, Bosa, Williams, White, and who am I forgetting? Allen, the linebacker from Kentucky.
Those five,
I'm pretty sure they're going to be the first five.
I completely forgot about him.
Six. What's that?
I completely forgot about that kid out of Kentucky.
Josh Allen?
Yes.
He's a linebacker. He's good. He's very, very good. He's by far the best linebacker. He'll probably go three to the Jets if they don't trade the pick. so those five go.
They're the
now,
Jets.
The Giants at six kind of determine what happens after that. If they take, I'm told they like Sweat, they like Gary, they like Oliver. So depending on which one they take, we'll start a domino effect as to what, you know, the teams after them, 7, 8, 9, 10 do.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions at 8. I'm hoping the Lions at 8 want the local kid and take Gary from Michigan.
Yeah, I hope so too. That would be awesome because I don't know. I feel like Bob Quinn might go after Josh Allen. He might say, you know what, we need a pass rusher. Let's get him. Because, I mean, Ziggy Ansah.
He's not going to be there at 8. Allen's going 3 to the Jets.
Oh, you think, okay. Well, you said it yourself.
Yeah,
you think the Jets might trade down.
What's that? Unless the Jets, but then Allen.
That's what they do.
Allen's
the dumbest thing.
If Allen's there at 7 and I'm the Packers, I'm trading up.
If you're what?
If Allen starts to slip and I'm Green Bay, I'm on the phone trying to move up to get him.
Ooh. And a little wrench into the plans. I like it.
All right. Jake, we should probably wrap it up. And we're not going to be on again until after the draft, obviously.
No, that's correct. But actually, we might be able to. Maybe we could try and get you on my podcast. Maybe we'll do a little bonus coverage.
I'll be happy to do that. You know that.
All
right. Let me just ask you this right now for our Pack-A-Day listeners.
Okay.
Tell me who the Pack. I mean, again, I'm, you know, just who's your pick right now? Who do you think the Packers with their first pick are going to take?
Cleveland Farrell, the defensive end out of Clemson.
I think that was from your heart.
It was from my heart. Not from my brain. I'll go Montez Sweat.
Okay. I'm with you. If I could, I'm hoping for Farrell. You and I both. And we didn't rehearse this. Let the listeners know. I had no idea how you felt about Farrell. You had no idea how I felt.
And that's what makes it work so well, Mark. That's what makes it work so well. Spontaneous reaction.
But anyway, the guy, I have a strange feeling this is going to be their pick. And I think they may move down a couple spots. I think you're going to wind up with Devin Bush, from the linebacker from Michigan.
Okay.
I just have a weird feeling. I don't know why. Don't ask me to explain.
He's better than Gary.
I just have a weird feeling. And I don't mind him either. He's putting the ball, but he can help that middle of the defense a little bit.
He's a bruiser. Don Brown really loved coaching him last year at the University of Michigan. So
he's a sideline to sideline kind of guy that the Packers don't have right now.
All right, Packer fans.
Let's see what happens.
All right, Mark. We'll talk in a few weeks. Right? Maybe on my podcast. Maybe.
Yeah,
all right.
No, I'll be happy to help you.
Okay, Mark.
All right. Take care, Jay.
All right. That was Mark Eckel of BobAgainFootball.com. You can find him on there. Bob again does such a great job on that website. Just take a look at it. Also, go to PackersTalk.com, led by the great Al Bracco. Got some of the best young and hungry writers, including yours truly, putting up articles every week on there. So check that out as well. We're actually about to do a Draft Central, so that is going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to do that. I am actually in charge of round three, so... Also, Packer fans, get ready for this because we got a treat for you. Pack a Day and Turning Points, my podcast, is going to join forces for one night only. Yes, that's right. Andy Herman of Cheesehead TV, the founder of Pack a Day podcast, will be joining me on my podcast on Tuesday evening. It'll be up on Wednesday morning, right in time for you Packer drafty maniacs to really set your boards up and see what the Green Bay Packers will draft at number 12 and at number 30. I can't wait for this draft. I'm not just saying that just to get clicks and excitement. I am actually legitimately excited for this draft because it's defense, defense, defense. So when Andy Herman gave me defensive line, I was over the moon because, like I said, that's my favorite aspect of football. I want that to stay alive. Even though the NFL continues to take rule to rule and make defense kind of inferior sometimes, it's good to see that we got a defensive-heavy draft coming into this. And I understand you want to say, oh, the national media, they're ripping it apart. Let them. Let them. We'll sit here as football aficionados and watch the draft with pride here. All right, Packer fans, I want to know your take. Who will the Packers take at number 12? Who will they take at number 30? Do you have a sleeper defensive end? Go to at Jake Turner Sport or at a Packaday Podcast, or you can go give a little shout out to Mark Eckel at Mark Eckel 08. Well, fans, there you go. You got your defensive line draft guide ready for the week. And until next time, for Mark Eckel, I'm Jake Turner, and the three greatest words in the dictionary of the Green Bay Packers is go, Pack, go. Enjoy the draft, and we'll see you next time on Pack-A-Day, your 24/7, 365-day-a-year Pack-A-Day podcast of the Green Bay Packers.
Shant to Wild.
Oh, yes! And taken by Jackson! Geronimo Allison! Josh Jackson, the rookie, recovers in the end zone in a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Beathard on third down and three in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Beathard looking, hit as he throws it, deep down the right sideline, and it is intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay. Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side. St. Brown makes the tackle. Sage, 38 out. Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumbled out of bounds. Inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley, the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good.
Yes.
Yes.
Mason, yes,
Mason Crosby delivers a dagger. One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. Third and five, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan looks right, throws right side, intercepted to the house. Bishop Freeland, touchdown, Green Bay Packers. 19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers. Rodgers looks it over. Takes the snap. Blitz on. They pick it up. Lost
the
right side.
They got him.
10-5. End zone. Touchdown. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. 40 yards. Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks it under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff up the middle. Big hole. Straight ahead. It is Aaron Jones. Off to the races. To the 20. To the 15. To the
67 yards.
Third and six, trailing 30-23. 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A-gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking. Throws left side of the end zone.
Touchdown! Yes. Devontae Adams! Left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers!
16-yard touchdown pass. The Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.